I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
And the key is, by appreciating money coming into your life, you can open the door of appreciation, which invites more happy money into your life. And when you pay bills, when you pay at the restaurant or cashier, you can say thank you for the service. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the goods and services you provide. And thank you for the electricity. Thank you for the gas. And then you just send out lots of happy energy as well. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I'm so excited. We have such an illustrious guest in the studio today, the author of Happy Money and True Wealth, an expert on all things abundance. Welcome to the show, Ken Honda. Hello, Rebecca. Hi, I'm just joining you from the future, Japan, which is your evening, your morning. So
yeah,
I'm so happy to be here.
That's amazing. Well, I love that we're having an international global conversation from Cincinnati, Ohio to Japan. And yes. I know you had a fun night, you went to a party, and now you're coming back and it's 10:15 p.m. and you're doing a podcast interview. So I love your attitude and your work ethic. Let me tell my audience a little bit about you. So Ken Honda is Japan's best-selling author, speaker. He's known as the Zen Millionaire and an internationally acclaimed author of New York Times bestsellers, Happy Money and True Wealth. He's been called Japan's leading law of attraction expert by Esther Hicks. Ken teaches that stress-free wealth is the way to go. How to have a soulful connection and emotional peace around money, which is the opposite of what a lot of Americans have. So I can see why you're so popular in Western countries. His work blends Japanese Zen philosophy with practical financial wisdom, empowering people everywhere to experience gratitude, prosperity, and joy around money. So Ken, how did you first discover that money carries an energy?
Thank you, Rebecca. That's a very good question. You know, I was born into a very unique family. My father was a successful tax accountant. So he started inviting his clients since I was 6 or 7 at the time. So my career is almost like half a century because I have seen people go up and down with the financial situation. And some people have so much money, but they look very unhappy from kids' eyes. You know, kids' eyes can see through everything. And also there are people, his clients, there are some of them, they didn't seem so successful, but genuinely very happy. And they talk to us and they bring us some nice, sweets. So, I realized since very early on that there are two kinds of people. People with money, people without money. And also happy people and unhappy people. And later on, I realized that money has energy. So if you are surrounded by unhappy energy by doing what you don't like or doing some shady business, then your money becomes unhappy energy. Whereas happy people do what they love. So what they love and what they serve other people translates into more money. So if you are helping people and receive money, that becomes happy money. When you try to take advantage of other people or doing what you don't like and then try to bring food on the table, your money becomes unhappy. That's as simple as that.
So how do people who manifest a lot of money, some of them are very unhappy and have a very toxic relationship with mm-hmm. themselves and money and the world. Like, if money goes where there's energy and happiness, how do these negative people manifest money?
So it's nothing to do with manifesting with money, because money gets attracted to people with lots of energy.
Oh,
so like, you know, very shady people or like gangsters, yeah. they have so much power. So they have this attraction power. So the money goes to where the magnet attracts. So money itself doesn't judge people by the virtues. Mm. So that's why bad people attract money. But the good thing is people who carry happy energy can attract happy life, but not necessarily money. That's why there is a saying, you know, good people finish the last. So, you know, in a way that some people are very nice and generous, but some givers end up being poor because there are some takers in the world. So you have to be very careful to have your own power. And at the same time, you can be magnetic to happy money as well.
That is a really interesting distinction, Ken, because money goes where there's a lot of magnetism and energy. So yes. whether it's negative energy, like, you know, shady people, gangsters, they still have mm-hmm. a lot of power and charisma, or
yeah.
happy, generous servant leaders have a lot of money and charisma. So the money mm-hmm. doesn't judge. It just goes where the energy is.
Yes. So if you want to attract just money, be magnetic, be powerful. But that doesn't bring you happiness.
Yes. So what is happiness in your definition, Ken?
Happiness is a state that it's not something you achieve for, or you just go for. Happiness is something that you notice. Like people ask me, you seem very happy. Like a regular guy at the coffee shop, and some people just talk to me like, you seem very happy. What's the secret? Like, you know, and without them knowing that what I do and who I am. And it's just a state that people ask you, Rebecca, you seem very happy. And then, oh, yeah, now you ask me, I think I'm happy. So that is attitude. It's not like I'm trying my best to be happy every day. You know, that's not happiness, because being happy is a state, not just a place.
Have you always been happy, or was it something that you had to work on and cultivate?
I was very depressed in my early 20s, and also after my divorce in my 20s, I was very depressed. And also as a young child, my father was abusive and alcoholic. So I think I was more depressed. I was a depressed kid. So later on, I learned from the best mentors that I could get. One of them is Wahei Takeda, who used to be called Warren Buffett of Japan. Mm-hmm. And he started teaching me about happiness and money and work. So people like that really changed my life. So you need good teachers to change your mindset. And also they influence you with their own life.
What are some of the best things that the Warren Buffett of Japan taught you that changed you from a depressive to happy?
So I was much happier when I met him. But he totally shifted my consciousness around money. There are like 40 people in my group. And what would you ask Warren Buffett if you're one of 40 and have this honor of asking him a question? So I asked Wahei, what is the secret of money? And his question was, his answer was, you know, with a big smile, he said, just arigato your money. And then I got pushed out of, you know, out of the line, because there is somebody waiting in my back. I was very confused. Arigato your money, meaning appreciate your money. That's a secret to money. What? I didn't really get it. Later on, I had this opportunity to visit him again, and he explained in hours, only me and him. And I became his good student. He took me as his disciple, and we had this beautiful relationship for the next few years of mentor and mentee. And the key is, by appreciating money coming into your life, you can open the door of appreciation, which invites more happy money into your life. And when you pay bills, when you pay at the restaurant or cashier, you can say thank you for the service. Thank you for the gift. Thank you for the goods and services you provide. And thank you for the electricity. Thank you for the gas. And then you just send out lots of happy energy as well. By doing that, you just vibrate lots of happiness. And that is contagious. Your clients appreciate you back with more business. I used to work as a consultant, and I divided my clients into two groups. One, I always appreciated their business. The other, I did all the work, not just simple work. And amazingly, for the first group, I got so many referrals because I showed my interest and enthusiasm and appreciation for the business. So they're so excited about giving me new clients. So the more you appreciate your clients and company you're working for, they will treat you better. So appreciation really works in real terms.
So now when it's time to pay the bills, do you get excited and you're like, yay, I can pay the bills. This is so great. Or do you just do it more as like a practice and say thank you after you pay the
bills? No, this is fun because I get to enrich some people's lives. Like when I pay, I try to pay a little extra so they get excited. So I sometimes ask my contractors to rewrite the bills, so the invoice, so I can pay them more. Because the more money I pay, it's like sometimes I ask them, can you just send me an invoice 5% higher than it is? They're like, what? And then it's almost like tipping for me, because that 5% of extra money gives them incredible motivation. All my contractors, all the people that work with me, they appreciate me so much. I am their best clients. So that's why they're excited to support me, and I get all the benefits. And I think I'm really getting back the money's worth. So I just find it so much joy in finding a bill in my mailbox. Like, oh, my bill arrived. It's almost like your new check arrived, because it is a symbol of abundance. It's a symbol of abundance.
How are bills a symbol of abundance?
Because it shows you that some money came in so you can pay. And also, that is a symbol of abundance for the people you're paying to, because the money they receive will become their kids' lunch money, becomes their rent, mortgage payment, and with the money, they can pay what they needed to pay. So with a little more extra pay, they can pay more. They can feel more abundant. So the bill is a good sign, because it's almost like a ticket to make somebody happy. So because I have the money, and I have the more I appreciate my clients for their businesses, like, wow, thank you so much for choosing me. And as a author, as a seminar leader, I appreciate my students so much. So I give so much back to my students. So they say, like, what? I mean, we are supposed to give you the present. No. You are my client. So I just pay them. I give them some kind of gifts all the time. So they know I appreciate them for being there. So this energy of appreciating from either side kind of like becomes a snowball. So they want to bring their brothers and sisters, their clients, and their boss, and their relatives. So my business grows out of word of mouth. That's why I could sell almost 9 million copies of my books, which is probably very hard in the world.
That's that nobody beautiful. Reads books. So something we can do today is we can become a better tipper, right? You probably,
yes.
A lot of times you go to the coffee shop and you get something, mm-hmm. they always ask for a tip. And I'm sure you're yeah. always happy to tip people. And then just to pay a little extra. I know we're going to take a commercial break in a minute, but we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how someone can tell if they're living in a scarcity or an abundance vibration. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we will be right back.
I am so excited. I created something special just for you. It's called the Balanced, Beautiful Bundle, and inside this bundle, you're going to get instant access to a PDF copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. You're going to get my best health and beauty tips to help you glow from the inside out. You'll get my Elegant Warrior Manifesto, a daily reminder of your power, grace, and purpose. You'll get my Abundance Journal to help you manifest more joy, love, and prosperity. And you'll get a daily journal reminder to keep your mindset strong and your energy and your vibe high every single day. This bundle is your shortcut to balance, beauty, and abundance in an elegant way. So grab your copy now by going to the show notes and start living your most balanced, beautiful, abundant life today. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial, so you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener.
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We're having an amazing conversation with Ken Honda, the author of Happy Money, True Wealth. So Ken, how can we tell if we are in a scarcity or an abundance vibration around money?
So everybody could worry about money, even a billionaire, because their sales may not go as high as they expected. Even though they have like five different public companies, all of them are not doing great at the same time. So I had one billionaire complaining about his financial situation. You know, even though he's worth billions, his net asset decreased like 10%, which is still big, right?
Yeah, but for them,
yes, but for them, the loss is like a few hundred million dollars, right? So like, still they have a lot, but that means that their value goes down in their mind. So they go, I can't breathe, you know? So if you have like 500 million in your bank account, how can you just worry about money, right? But that's how worrying eats you up. that's why you should be grateful that you're not a billionaire, because you don't worry about losing $300 million in one day. So money worries can eat you up. So unless you heal your relationship with money, money worries and anxiety just follows you. So you have to heal your money wounds. You have to heal your future money worries, both past and present, and then focus on here and now. Your energy gets distracted. So it doesn't really matter how much money you have in your bank account, how much money you make, unless you just you're in the center. You would go off balance and then start worrying about money. So you are driven to make more money. So one day I feel more secure. But I have seen millionaires grow into billionaires, and then their money worries don't go down. They go up because all their friends are making twice as much. And from here, we don't know how far they are, but from up here, they know that their friends are making way more money. And that really gives hurt them emotionally, which is absurd.
People get so obsessed with more, 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 more. So how do you apply like the Zen philosophy of being calm and centered around money, where people get so emotionally triggered around it?
Rebecca, you keep asking great questions. Thank you.
Yeah.
You make my day. You know. So I get often asked different questions to the same thing. I talk about the money container. You know, everyone is born with a certain size money container. Some, like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, their money container is big, you know, by nature. They're supposed to do something big. And and then their money container is big. Some people are born small. Like if you're a school teacher or in the kindergarten teacher or nurse, your money container cannot be super, super big. So when I explain about that in the West, like in America, in Europe, people ask me very simple question. Hey, Ken, can you teach me how I can grow my money container so fast so I can become a millionaire or billionaire? In the shortest amount of time. And in Japan, I get often asked by people about the same situation, about the same money container. They ask me questions like, Ken, how can I satisfy myself with the container I have? Mm. So it's a totally different mindset. So, you know, in order to feel happy, you need to be content with who you are, and where you are, and what you have. You know, it's great to go after what you want, but at the same time, we have to be content. We have to be satisfied with what we have achieved. Otherwise, we're driven to achieve more, get more, make more, and this wheels go faster. If you run faster, you're in like a rat race of a billionaire. You know, I talk about it. A billionaire's rat race is made of gold and bigger.
And it's a faster race.
Yes. So if you're dizzy. So you have to ask yourself, when is enough? Mm. How much is enough? Unless you cannot come up with a number, you always feel you're in misery. So that is a most pathetic situation. I have known many millionaires and billionaires. One time I asked a person with a private jet, are you feeling wealthy? And he said, of course not. All my friends have bigger jets, you know, bigger boats, which can host like 100 people at a party. My boat only accommodate 30 people. I feel so small. Their private jet only seats 6 people instead of like a jumbo jet, like a president. So you can find so many reasons to feel small. So unless you decide one house is good enough, or two houses, or three houses, one car, two cars, three cars, fancy cars, yeah, there's no end. So you have to say, this is okay. And ideally speaking, wherever you are financially, you can find the 100% satisfaction right there. And if you become the master of finding 100% satisfaction, then you are in the financial enlightenment zone.
Ooh, now maybe that explains, Ken, why people in third world countries who have nothing, you know, they're living in a mud hut, they're going to the bathroom, like outside in the outhouse. Sometimes they're wildly happy, whereas people, like you said, millionaires and billionaires are desperately unhappy. So how do you explain that, the difference between people who have nothing, but they have freedom around money versus people who are in bondage to money?
I think it's relationships. If you have good relationships with people, like family members, your friends, poor people often have a lot of people around you, like it or not, you know, because they have to live in a smaller place.
Yeah.
So they have to find some ways to make peace with them, right? So they have to cooperate with one another. But wealthy people don't need to cooperate with other people. They can find independence from everybody, except housekeepers and drivers. So if you push people away because of money, you push happiness away, because relationships and friends and close relationships are the key to bring you happiness. So if you keep pushing your loved ones, and if you keep pushing your happy clients and the people you're working for, then you just find yourself a shortcut to hell.
Well said, well said. So what can we do today? If somebody's listening to this podcast, they're driving in their car, they're walking their dog, they're like, okay, Ken, I got it. I got to transform my relationship with money. What are some practical steps that we could do today or even this week to start transforming our relationship to money?
So the first technique or the skills that I can share is what I learned from Wahei the first day. Arigato your money. Appreciate your money coming in and going out. I call it arigato in, arigato out. So when money comes in next time, you can exaggerate your joy. Like when money comes into my account, I always dance happy money dance. Thank you money for coming into my life. And I just dance and dance, even if it's $5. You know, people pay me a dollar or two or three when they watch me YouTube live, you know, because I dance happy money dance. So I'm a professional dancer, you know, because I get paid, even though a dollar, but so
yeah.
You can just find it so much joy. It doesn't really matter how much, but as long as you express your joy of inviting more happy money into your life, and when you pay bills, wow, I can pay $100,000 in taxes. I can pay like $50,000 for this and $10,000 for this or $20 for this. It doesn't really matter how much, how big it is. You can feel appreciation that I have money to pay for, and the money I'm paying will enrich somebody. So it could enrich the people who are working in the gas station or in the convenience stores and a restaurant. And that money that they're spending are going to enrich somebody. So it's paying it forward. It will come back to you. So whenever I just pay my bills and pay money, I always ask my money, thank you, money, for being with me. Please make sure that you come back fast with so many friends. And so I say, goodbye, come back. And then when money comes back, you know, I dance.
So, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah,
so everybody, we need to start our happy money dancing. Even if we make $1, we gotta learn from Ken here and do a happy money dance. So, Ken, I know here.
Yeah, try that. It gives you such a stupid feeling.
Yeah. Well, it's like when, you know, people score a touchdown in the National Football League, the NFL, the quarterback, they always do a dance. Like, we can be our own NFL player and do our own little happy money dance when we make money. And one of my other guests is like, you got to treat money like a lover and a romance. And imagine if your lover came over and you're just like, yeah, whatever. You don't even say hi to your lover or greet your lover or give them any attention. Then the lover's not going to want to come by anymore. But if you do like what you're saying, Ken, and get excited and happy and do a dance, of course that lover is going to want to come by and visit you more. So that totally makes sense. Now, in America, they say tithing is so important. If you want to make more money, to give 10% to your church or the charity. Is that something that is big in Japan, or is your version of tithing just to pay like 5 or 10% more than the bill?
You can do all kinds of tithing, but it's not fun if you're supposed to do like a 10%. It's not taxes, right?
Yeah.
So it has to be a voluntary thing. So when your mom used to scold you for like, did you take out the garbage yet? So then you said, Mom, if you didn't tell me, I was going to, and you get upset. So it has to be voluntary. Otherwise, it spoils the fun. So it's up to you. You can pay 10%, 20%, maybe 50%, depending on your income bracket. It's more of your feeling. One time, we had an American guest come over from Hollywood, and his house was burned down with so many thousands like a few years ago. And then I prepared a donation box for the refugee for people in California. So there's this girl, Japanese girl in her early 20s. So obviously she didn't have much money. So she was wondering how much she should give for that donation, right? And then she was calculating something. And I figured she was calculating how much it's going to cost to go home. And then she put $10 note in a basket. So she had some coins. That's all she got. I was so touched because she calculated how much it's going to cost for her to go home. Tithing. It's not like, okay, if I have $10, that means I can give you a dollar, So that's
right.
It. So
it's got to be more organic, not so robotic and methodical. And it's a great, joyous occasion to be able to tithe and be generous and give money. I really love that. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break.
So
Go ahead and finish.
So don't overgive it. Don't overgive it. Don't give out of sacrifice. It's not fun anymore.
Yeah, it stops being fun. And don't give, to your story, don't give so much that now you can't get home because you have no money left for the train or the bus. You can't give so much that it actually hurts yourself, because then it's no longer fun. So this has been amazing. We're going to cut to a quick break. Don't go anywhere, because when I come back, we're going to talk to Ken about money EQ and how you can raise your money EQ. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. And we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Okay. Can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all 7 pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account, or a thriving career but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? This one says gaining clarity, and it's from Kate House. Listening to and learning from Rebecca has helped me gain clarity on what matters most to me, and it has inspired me to take action. Thank you so much. Yes, we are in the action business and God is in the results business. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, where we are taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. So Ken, what is money EQ and how does that differ from financial IQ?
Thank you. You know, sure. Rebecca, you're asking the best questions ever.
No, well, really thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, I really appreciate you for that.
Sure.
So, you know, as I was learning about money in my early 20s, I realized that financially very intelligent people often make emotional mistakes, and then they lose so much money. Sometimes they go bankrupt. You know, you've probably heard the news that hedge funds manager, they end up losing everything. They're supposed to know everything about money, but those highly intelligent people make stupidest mistakes, and then they end up losing everything. And I realize, okay, maybe you need more than money IQ. And then I came up with this idea, money EQ, because money emotional intelligence is so important. And then that has to be the base. Otherwise, even though you're the smartest person in the room, but if you are so stupid emotionally, you kind of invest out of your greed, out of balance, and then you could lose everything. So you have to be emotionally stable. You have to be emotionally healthy with money. Otherwise, you will do so many weird things. And I'm sure I have done my share of doing stupid things, and then you regret it for the rest of your life.
I went to a class about money, and this guy was like, you have to take the emotion out of money because people get so emotional about it that they can't make clear decisions.
Yes.
So how do we take the emotional charge off of money and just think of it as an energy?
So you just come up with all the emotions you have around money. A lot of people have both positive and negative emotions around money. Some people attach money with joy, happiness, and also love. But money is just energy by itself. So it could carry sorrow, sad energy, anger, resentment, hatred, and frustration. Money comes in all kinds of negative energies too. So just list up all the negative emotions you have around money, and list up all the positive emotions around money too. By doing that, you realize that, okay, I'm 70% negative around money, but 30% positive around money. So if you can let go of all the emotional charge around money, you can treat money as neutral thing. And and then you can decide your money can carry positive energy and negative energy, but you need to cleanse it. And otherwise it has a mixed energy.
So before we can have happy money, write down all our negative beliefs and all our just limiting stories and old beliefs around money, like I'll never have enough, I'll always be broke, why does everybody make more? All that negativity. Just get it out on a piece of paper, write it down, burn it, rip it up, flush it down the toilet, get to neutral, and then we can start building from neutral our relationship with happy money. But it's hard, I think, to go from having all these scarcity conversations and limiting beliefs to money to go to like, yeah, I get to tip an extra $10. Like, that's not really possible. So we have to go to neutral first. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And it's more fun if you could find a friend that you can do with. So like in my seminar, we each take turn, like I say some one negative thing, and then Rebecca, your turn. And I say one more and your turn. So it would be great if you can find a friend so you can heal the money wounds together. So by doing that, you can find Maniji as a beautiful, neutral energy. And then after that, you can make energy be fun angels and surround yourself with happy money energy angels.
What are your happy money and angels' names? Did you give them any names?
I don't give them names, but I always talk with them. So when extra happy money comes in, I always have a little chat. And the other day, I had like the $10,000 worth of book royalties from somewhere in the world and then asked the money. It came from Southeast Asia. So the money angel chatted with me. I asked him, where do you want to go? And since I came from Asia, I want to go back to Asia. And I asked the money, where do you want to go? I want to go to Cambodia to help the orphans in the country. And I said, okay, you go. So I wired the money. So I always have a conversation. Sometimes they want to become a bonus to my staff. Sometimes it wants to become a sauna in my retreat center, right? So I don't know what comes next. Sometimes it comes in a very weird way. So I just listen to it and then I just follow it.
I love it. It's an ongoing conversation. It's a relationship. That is so beautiful. Now, I know you had research over 12,000 self-made millionaires to understand wealth and abundance. You're kind of like a modern day Napoleon Hill, because the first author of a money book, as you know, but my listeners might not know, is Think and Grow Rich. And Napoleon Hill interviewed the American self-made millionaires, and he came up with principles that wealthy people did and that average people didn't do. In your research of self-made millionaires, what are some patterns or habits that stand out with the wealthy people that you interviewed?
So I discovered that they found occupation not by how much money they can make, but they become a millionaire by doing what they're good at and what they loved. And also the other thing I was surprised is that they respect relationships more than the profit. So in the long term, they made more money than short-term profit. So in other words, they respect their relationships with their business partners and clients and contractors more than the profit. So they make less money each transaction. But since they had a longer-term relationship, then they became wealthy. It's like a lot of dry cleaning businesses created so many millionaires, because every day it's like a dollar or two, but like 10 cent profit. But it has happened every day. And my mentor, Wahid Takeda, created his fortune by selling cookies for babies, which is like 30 cents per package, but he sells billions of small packages. That's why, that's how he became so wealthy. So repeat business is a key. So even though you make just a short, small margin of profit in every transaction, if you can keep long enough, more than 10, 20, 30 years, you can become wealthy. So that's how I discovered being a best-selling author for 1 year is not really paying off. So I have been a best-selling author for the past 23 years.
Congratulations!
Thank you. So that's why I just created the longer-term success by creating a beautiful relationship with my readers. So I'm known for being a giver, the not the best-selling author, but the most giver author in Japan. I have given tens of thousands of pens and notebooks and all the fun stationery goods to appreciate my first million sales and the second million, the third million. I did all the contests and the winners got like all the pens, fancy pens, not just cheap pens. So I have given away so much as an author. So by creating a royal relationship, so when my book comes out, 20,000 people, 30,000 people buy them. So that's why sometimes they could print, the first printing is about 100,000 copies. So they make so much profit. I receive so many book, book royalties, and a lot of readers support me. So everybody wins. It's because I have had a long and deep and firm relationship with all my fans. So anybody can do it with their own business.
So what I'm hearing you say, Ken, is it's people before profit, and you have a long-term sustaining relationship with people, and mm-hmm. they just keep coming back and they keep giving you money. Is that what you're saying, to invest yes. in the relationship? Right.
Yes. So over the years, I have helped so many people in the past. So the reason why I'm not worried about money is that if I lose everything, you know, which is not practical because I don't have any debt, but if I lose everything, I can ask all my fans, millions of fans, and I can ask, please, Ken Honda is having a hard time, SOS, you know, can you send me a dollar? And then I think a lot of people will probably send me a dollar, and then I can be financially independent back. So, and I know I'm vulnerable, and I'm willing to accept any donations. And then that could be a fun way of going bankrupt and asking for help. You know, so I'm kind of curious, if I go bankrupt, what's going to happen? So,
I don't think you will. I don't think we have to worry about that at all. Uh-huh. This show is about helping people overcome burnout and mm-hmm. exhaustion and overwhelm
yes.
when it comes to making money. Mm-hmm. Do you have any good tips or advice on taking breaks or vacation or time management or anything that will help our listeners overcome burnout and exhaustion when it comes to making money?
Mm. Yeah, so if you're feeling overwhelmed on the burnout syndrome, it's because you were in sacrifice of some sort. Mm. The energy you're giving out didn't really match with the energy you receive. So if you receive as much energy as you give, then it's an equal flow. It's like happy, healthy flow. But if you're giving so much and little came back, then you feel like you're in sacrifice. Mm. And also you get frustrated. So just check how much energy is being put out and then how much energy you receive. So oftentimes you have done something out of your integrity, or you did something that you didn't feel right or good about, but you had to do it anyway for money. So you have to come up with a way to feel balanced, feel in integrity, and then you have to follow your heart and do something that goes with the value you have. And then you will never be in sacrifice. So just check what went off balance. And then if you make sure that you keep in balance, what you give is the same energy as what you receive, and then you have a healthy flow. So just check what you give, what you receive. It has to be balanced.
Beautiful. Well, we're almost done. I'm going to do some fun rapid fire questions just mm-hmm. quickly. Coffee or tea?
Which oh, you're asking a question.
Yeah, okay, rapid fire. Quick questions, easy okay. answers. Just have okay, some okay. fun with yeah. me. Coffee or tea?
Okay. Coffee.
Really? I'm surprised because I'm obsessed with matcha green tea.
Yes, that's exactly what I have.
Matcha green tea? Okay, then yes. The next question is matcha green tea or regular green tea?
Yeah, I love matcha tea. And I love matcha ice cream too. Somehow, American people are getting hooked with matcha these days.
They're obsessed. I hear there's a worldwide shortage of matcha because the Americans are buying so much of it.
I know. And I'm not blaming you, because my friend is growing matcha green tea, and he's in heaven. Like, well, he's so busy packing stuff for America. So thank you for buying my friend's Japanese tea.
But I hear you can only harvest it like so many months of the year. So that's why there's a shortage. They're like literally running out of like green tea plants because the Americans are buying so much. So I hope we don't run out of it because I love it.
Yes, it's so fun. And also when you visit Japan, just try tea ceremony. It's very zen. And it makes
I have so done cool. one. I did a tea ceremony in Los Angeles. It was beautiful. Oh. Absolutely beautiful. Uh-huh. Loved it.
Wow. I'm glad.
Yes. Next question is sushi or sashimi?
That's a very fun question. I'd go for sashimi. That's a fresh fish. Okay. As long as they keep fresh.
Yes. And if you had an extra few hundred thousand, what would you invest in, real estate or stocks?
I prefer real estate now because it will stay as something, but with a stock, it might evaporate.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Ken. This was so fun. I really love your teachings and your attitude around money, and I want to visit you in Japan one day and have some matcha and continue the conversation. Would that be okay?
Of course, you're more than welcome. And then for those of you who are watching this, just please enjoy your money, because money is made for your pleasure and happiness, not for your suffering.
Beautiful. You heard it here. His parting words that I'm going to take. Money is not made to suffer and to make us feel like we're in prison and mm-hmm. to be a slave for money. We're not here to live to work, but to work to live and mm-hmm. to enjoy life. And the more enjoyment and happiness we have, the more money we're going to make. That is called Happy Money. And I'm sure you're going to want to get the books, Happy Money and True Wealth, if you don't already have them. So Ken, how can people find your book, find you online, your website? Tell us all the ways to keep in touch with you.
Thank you so much. You can find all the information at kenhonda.com. You can order my books through Amazon, and you can watch my many of the YouTubes and interviews like this one. And but you ask me the best questions, so you know you cannot beat other shows, but there are many shows and that might be fun for you to watch. So thank you so much for inviting me. And this is my absolute pleasure of being part of your show. So thank you. Arigato, arigato.
Arigato. Arigato.
Lots of happy money will pour into your life.
Yay. Everybody who's listening, happy money. Let's learn our happy money dance. Thank you so much, Ken. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for listening, everyone, to the Balance Business Abundance Show. Arigato. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
This week's podcast review is from Play Big. She says, Rebecca Whitman is an exceptional host who brings an incredible depth of wisdom, warmth, and authenticity to her listeners. Her passion for helping others achieve a balanced, beautiful, and abundant life is evident in every episode. Her dedication to empowering her audience to live their best lives is not just a theme of her podcast, but a genuine mission she lives by. It absolutely is Play Big. Thank you for recognizing that. And I want every single listener to live a balanced, beautiful, abundant life. And you can.